Hey, welcome back to The Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Worship Arts here at the church, and as always, it's great to be with you. This week, we're beginning our new worship series called Exploring Our Family Tree, as we take a look at a book called Generational IQ by author Hayden Shaw. We're exploring what it is to be a multi-generational faith community. We are a five-generation faith community today. Never before has that happened in the history of humanity, and so it's a unique position for a church to be in, for communities to be in. And so that's what we're taking a look at, and we're going to be exploring these next few weeks. We hope you enjoy.
Our scripture today comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 18 through 28. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we don't know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. This is the gift of Scripture for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Today we'll be talking, and for the next 4 weeks, talking about the glorious gift of a five-generation church. A church where the potluck comes naturally. And I grew up on potlucks. I have never known a time in a church when the potluck wasn't important. But for younger kids, the younger generations, the millennial generations, perhaps the potluck is a word they've never heard of before. So we're going to be discussing our perspectives. And I wanted to start that perspective conversation through the lens of a raindrop. Seamus Heaney, an Irish poet, wrote this poem about the rain stick, which is what Ken is demonstrating. Upend the rain stick, and what happens next is a music that you never would have known to listen for, and a cactus stalk. Downpour, sluice rush, spillage, and backwash come flowing through. You stand there like a pipe being played by water. You shake it again lightly, and diminuendo runs through all its scales like a gutter, stopping, trickling. And now, here comes a sprinkle of drops out of freshened leaves, the subtle little wets off grass and daisies, then glitter drizzle, almost breaths of air. Upend the stick again. what happens next is undiminished for having happened once, twice, 10,000 times before. Who cares if all the music that transpires is the fall of grit or dry seeds through a cactus? You are like a rich man entering heaven through the ear of a raindrop. Listen now, again. Is it a cactus stalk? Well, from one perspective. But for those with ears to hear, it's like entering heaven through the ear of a raindrop. And in a five-generation church, we have five generations of perspectives. Communication is one of the challenges, probably the largest challenge in a five-generation church. Our oldest generation, our senior generation, they prefer to have somebody come talk to them. Pick up the phone and call me. If you want me to volunteer something for something, come and ask me. Our youngest generation, well, what happens? We have some millennials and younger in here. What happens if you try calling them? Right, yeah. See, the ringer isn't on. They say, if you want to connect with me, text me. Don't email me because that's old school. Text me and maybe I'll get back to you. And this plays out in challenging ways in a church when most of the people that have the time to volunteer are from an older age group than the people who run our programs. Our millennials who run most of our programs are trying to be as efficient as they possibly can because there's way more work for them, for one or two people to possibly do. So they use Sign Up Genius and SurveyMonkey, and they try to be as efficient as humanly possible. In this past week, on Tuesday evening, 6:30, in the gathering room, we have a Bible study, and the group is talking about the generational differences, and we're talking about the communication issues, and one of my friends said, you know, if you want me to volunteer for something, just come talk to me. Just call me. Don't expect me to do anything with that genius monkey thing. And I get it. He's right. But I also know that our millennial program directors are right. Different perspectives. As we come together in worship, soon we'll be passing the offering plate around, the offering baskets. Our older generations will write a check, or perhaps they'll put cash in the offering basket. Generation X isn't going to put anything in the basket because they're auto pay. And the youngest generation is going to be looking for a cube to swipe their card through. And if the cube isn't there, they're going to be tapping the edge of the basket with their phone, wondering if Apple Pay will work. And for those of you, no, it won't work, but we have text to give up on the screen. So hopefully that'll help. Our men's breakfast on Tuesday morning is at 7. This is a sermon and a sales pitch at the same time. Tuesday morning, 7 o'clock, men's breakfast. It's a wonderful gathering of the men in our church. But we were talking about generational differences before Christmas, and one of the guys said, you know what's wrong with kids these days? They're staring at their phones all the time. When we were kids, our parents told us to go outside and play. And they said, don't come back until it's dinner time. In my neighborhood, I'm more of a baby boom generation than Generation X. I was born right at the dividing line. My parents were more traditional than they were baby boomers because they were born right at the dividing line. So I had all of these very traditional baby boomer experiences that formed and shaped me. And we had a big cast iron bell on the deck. Mom would start ringing the bell when it was time for dinner. And in the morning, she told us, leave and don't come back till the bell rings. Well, today, our kids, we can text them, find out exactly where they're at. But we were having dinner at Christmas, had all six of my family together. It was incredible. We had a family dinner, and it was really actually a very pleasant conversation. It was a Christmas gift. The first time maybe in 2 years that all six of us were together, nobody's bickering or fighting. And we were asking the kids, what are your favorite memories? And Garrett said, well, my favorite memories are from Iowa. Oh, we haven't lived in Iowa in almost 12 years. Garrett, you were 11 when we lived in Iowa. How could your favorite memories be from Iowa? He said, oh, yeah, my best friends are from Iowa, too. Help me out here, Garrett. Well, you're 11 years old. How would you possibly have best friends? Well, because they're my Facebook friends. Remember Sophie who lived down the street? Well, Sophie's the pediatrician's daughter, our family pediatrician. She was like that tall last time I saw her. She's an author in New York City, and her career is writing. And she and Garrett have been talking and for 11 years, unbeknownst to me, and she's helping Garrett try to get poetry published. Wait, all they're doing is staring at their phones, right? Different perspectives. In our scripture lesson today, the core of that lesson, Paul writing about hope, powerful words, hope that is seen isn't hope, for who hopes for what they have seen? But Paul is hoping for something very different than we are hoping for today. Paul is hoping for the imminent return of Jesus because he clearly expected Jesus to come back in his lifetime. And he says that explicitly in his letters. Well, that doesn't seem to have been God's plan. Hope is different for each of our generations as well. For our oldest two generations coming out of World War II, their hope was for a career, a job with a pension. I know some of you have never heard that word before, but it used to be that you could have a job for your entire life and you could retire and you'd have a pension. Now we hope, Social Security. With this generation, as I was reading the responses from a survey we sent out to the congregation, I was struck by how frequently the phrases over and over again were similar by generation. So I created a word cloud, or it's Wordle. It's a program that takes all of the words from a response and creates an image. I'd like to show you an answer from our oldest generation. This is answering the question, what is the strength of your generation? Work ethic. Clearly, work ethic. This is the pick yourself up by your bootstraps generation. This is the John Wayne and Clint Eastwood generation. This is the rugged individualist. We're going to work hard and everything's going to be okay. Generation X, coming out of the Vietnam War, raised underneath the mushroom cloud, raised in the heat of the Cold War. I distinctly remember a radioactive cloud drifting over Chicago because the Russians had tested a nuclear weapon. I remember the anxiety and stress of the threat of nuclear incineration. Distinctly remember it. I remember Reagan telling Mr. Gorbachev, please tear down this wall, and thinking it would never be torn down. And yet it came down. And as I looked at the answers to what is the strength of your generation for Generation X, hope and peace. We can change. You don't see the change up there very well, but we can change the world. And as I've been visiting with Generation X, now Generation X is a huge spread. It's actually too big to call one generation because the oldest people in Generation X were born in 1980 to 1982, and they have a very different, what's that? Thank you. Millennial. Thank you. Ken is a perfect example of a millennial. He's not willing to voice his opinion to change things. But even more so, he's a great example because he was born in 1980-ish, the very beginning of the millennial generation. And his experiences are vastly different from my son Ryan, who was born at the very end of the millennial generation. Ken doesn't remember a time when there wasn't computers, but Ryan doesn't remember a time when everything was done on computers. And what they have in common, though, is they don't remember a time really when social media wasn't a part to some extent of their lives. But the youngest of the millennial generation don't remember a time when social media didn't dominate their lives. And as I've visited with people in the millennial generation, as I've talked to counselors, I've interviewed several counselors to get their perspective, people who work with the millennial generation, because what struck me was the extremely high level of anxiety that's exhibited in the youngest generation. In fact, suicide for ninth graders, and eighth graders and ninth graders, junior high school and the freshmen, suicide has just surpassed car accidents as a cause of death. So I was asking counselors what's going on here, and one of the counselors said, well, this is a generation that never has relief from stress, never has relief from being judged. They can't even get relief from being judged when they go to sleep, because when they wake up, they know the social media world has been active judging them. So interesting, all of our generations have been shaped. We have lenses that we view the world with, and all of our generational lenses have been shaped by the pressures of our community. Tolerance, diversity, inclusivity are the responses across the board. Not just from our congregation, but across the board. Ask a millennial what's the strength of their generation. We're willing to work for diversity, inclusivity, because we know what it's like to be judged more than any other generation knows what it's like to be judged. In a five-generation church, which for the first time in history, we are able to experience the joys of a five-generation church, because our oldest generation is healthy, healthier longer, healthier and active in ways they've never been able to be healthy and active before. Five generations in a church can be a blessing, and as I've given examples, it can be really challenging. But for a church with ears to hear, for a church that's willing to make the commitment, we have a symphony. We have an orchestra in this congregation made up of five major pieces that can all come together and create beautiful music. The question is, are we willing to get outside of our comfort zone and engage the other generations? Because all too often I've heard people say, you know what's wrong with the younger generation? And we could ask the same thing. They're asking, you know what's wrong with the millennial generation? You know what's wrong with Gen X? You know what's wrong with the boomer generation? You know what's wrong with the oldest generation? Well, the answer is nothing. Nothing is wrong with any of our generations. We just see the world differently. And I hope the answer to our questions today is that we will come together in ways that no other church has tried, so that we can hear that beautiful symphony of all of our generations.
Thanks once again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 each Sunday morning. We'd love to see you here. Grace and peace, y'all.